Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Marine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual landlady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
I'll be back in a week. News for Gamers Radio. Week of November 17th, 2008.
Radio.
It's party time. In the studio with us, we have Late Man, Gambus Khan.
Showing up
Jason
late.
Jason Gambro.
Greetings, programs.
He's a little
stumbling,
sick.
Stumbling in here.
Yes, I caught a computer virus.
Yeah,
carrying his disease.
That might be in the outtakes. You'll hear how he got that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that might stumble its way into the outtakes. Drunk and disheveled.
Also with us, we have the wombat, Ryan Wamboat.
What's
who
going
is
on?
Also under the weather a little
indeed.
Bit.
Indeed. Yeah, although I'm now finally starting to get a little better. My head doesn't feel as much like there's some manner of alien trying to push its way out through my nostrils. So
it's a green alien, too.
It is. A
slimy.
Horrible green alien.
Well, the relief of the pressure, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Indeed. But also with us, we have Justin, the Killer Wolverine Testa.
Who is not sick and who's healthy.
He's healthy, about as healthy as you can be.
Yeah.
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 You know, physically, not mentally.
And the
well,
razor,
I'm never healthy.
The razor blade cuts on his arms are healing nicely.
They are. And you can see right now.
That's why he's wearing a long sleeve shirt, dude. Why don't you see that? All right, well, we got a good show this week, I hope.
Isn't that kind of arrogant? Yeah, we haven't even started yet, but our show is fucking good.
This show right now at this point is better than any other podcast on the internet.
Wow.
We could turn it off right now.
Yeah,
we'd
indeed.
Still be better than
listen,
everybody else.
Listen to you.
Yeah.
Pride comes before a fall, zero tolerance. Our show sucks and six people listen to it.
Our six fans
we gained
agree
a listener.
Me. Yes, we
did.
Gained. But we have some fondling to get to, so let's, without further ado, with no more interruptions, we'll start with... Oh, fuck, I
you built it all up, and then you didn't even know.
Let's start with the Killer Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, hey,
well,
hey.
Well, didn't play much.
Hey.
Well, I don't know
so we'll go
much.
From what I played I a little
I
to what I played
you.
A lot. So, starting off, I played a little bit of Warhawk.
Really?
Nice.
Yes, and
did you get any trophies?
I got a trophy.
You broke your trophy cherry.
I did. And it's by completing the first tutorial.
You know what's sad? I played Warhawk
awesome.
So much. I haven't played Warhawk since the trophy patch came out. I haven't even turned it on since the trophy patch came out because I've had so much other shit to play.
Yeah. I was going to jump into a match, but then something came up and I turned it off. So that's about the extent of my Warhawk playing is I got my trophy and I turned it off.
Nice. There you go.
He just wanted his trophy.
And then I was fortunate enough to get Seen It, so I played that with the family this weekend.
The new Seen It.
The new Seen It. Box Office Smash. Which,
BOS.
It's good. You know, if you played Seen It, it's Seen It. The sequentials, though, we all know. Did you all play the first one? You
no.
Two? No. Oh, well.
Just, no. Oh,
Mo-
well.
Well, aren't you stupid?
I don't stupid? Know that we can talk anymore.
Well, there's this game mode in there called sequentials, and you got to put four movie titles in order of, you know, when it came out, the latest, like 1960 to current. Hard and shit. This time it does a little differently. They give you little clues, like, you know, as you go on. So it's a little easier. It's fun to play. You know, it's going to use the avatars starting Wednesday. So.
Nice.
I can't wait to get my avatar so I can ignore it.
Yeah. So not much has really changed. There's new game modes. Exactly.
Dude, didn't we say we weren't going to do that this week?
Sorry.
yeah.
It just came out of nowhere.
So I
you're cut like, off.
Got a lot of the achievements in that, and then I played a lot of MotorStorm.
Nice.
Yes. MotorStorm's such a great game.
Gamefly sent me MotorStorm.
The first one?
Second one.
The second one.
How the hell would I play the first one if the second one's out?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say Pacific
it's
Rift.
It's assumed.
It's assumed.
It's assumed.
Okay.
You know what happens
okay.
when
yes,
you assume.
Yes,
Yes. You are most often wrong.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, it's good, and I hate racing games, so for me playing it, it should say something about the game.
That is awesome.
Jesus wow. Christ.
He put his headset back on just to yell, "It's awesome," in your ear.
Yes.
The game is beautiful. It plays really well. I don't want to say about a racing game. The voice chat's kind of shitty.
The voice chat's very sensitive. Like, when we were playing online, we're like, do you have to press a button to chat? Because you couldn't hear anybody. And then we realized that it just doesn't pick up your voice unless you're talking at a normal, like, loud voice.
Well, I was talking in my normal voice, and I didn't even register.
Yeah, but you don't really have a normal, loud voice.
Well, you got to be loud, because I took it off my ear, the headset. Now, my headset's not the best, not top of the line.
Right.
But I took it out, and I had to, like, put it. Like, in my mouth for him to hear it.
Put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Suck it. And suck it like chocolate salty balls.
Well, I didn't do that, but okay. So I had to talk into it, put it back to my ear to hear his response, and like, fuck it, this isn't working, so we just played a couple rounds of it.
I have yet to play a game on the PlayStation Network that has good voice chat. That's one thing it's lacking, is good voice chat.
You either have to press a button, yeah, or it's convoluted or something.
I think mostly the problem is just not everybody has a mic. I think the non-standard mic is what hurts it more than anything else.
Well, now they have a standard mic, yeah, and everybody should buy that thing because it's awesome.
Well, yeah, but I mean like packaged in.
Well,
like,
yeah.
That, I think that hurts it more than anything else. But wow, like Warhawk, I think, has the best voice chat on the PlayStation Network, and even it's not great.
You have
great
to hold a button, but you can take that off, though.
Right.
So, but yeah, his headset's probably the one that came with SOCOM is probably the best to use, because I can hear him, no problem.
I tell you what, no lag, though.
No,
whatsoever. That game
not
is smooth as butter,
yeah,
online.
It
it's
really
so
is
fucking fun.
It is.
Motorstorm, we're still talking about?
Yeah, yeah, Motorstorm. That game is so awesome. Yeah.
And it's just, it's an awesome game, and I hate racing games. That's all I can say about it, that if you like racing, then you'll like this game. I even like it.
That's a firm endorsement.
Yeah, it has to be, because I hate racing games. So
that,
I don't know
that needs to
be
on the back of the box.
I hate racing games, and even I like this one.
So, and then that leads to what I promised last week, and all Gears. 2 days straight, I beat it, and it's just awesome. It's all. I stick with my review. 10.
Which you gotta...
Now, and you know, everyone in this room can attest to this, and we've been, you know, firm on this. A 10 doesn't imply perfection.
Right.
That's why the tagline for a 10 on our site is not perfect.
Yeah. And, I mean, there is no such thing as a perfect game.
Never will be.
And yeah, exactly. So a 10 means you, if you play it, you need to play it. And if you don't like it or agree with it, fine. But, you know, whatever. I stick with it. It does two things wrong that I could see, and they're forgivable. You can look past it, but... I love the game. There's nothing bad that will deter me from playing this game. Not just because I'm a fanboy, but because it's an awesome game. It is one of the best Xbox games out there.
It is an incredibly fun game.
Yeah.
It really
story
is.
Mode, it, you actually care for the characters this time. Like, it forces you to feel for these guys, especially with Dom. I mean, there's two main focuses, like I said in my review. There's the end of war, and then Dom's trying to find his wife. And the voice acting is done real well. The story's done leaps and bounds over the first one, and the gameplay stays the same, you know, cover and shoot with some new
stop
guns.
And pop, baby,
stop and pop.
The mortar gun sticks out in my
just
mind,
like Kill Switch.
The mortar gun is just
shame
awesome
on you.
There's a lot of awesomeness going on in this game, and
the mortar gun is awesome. Once I finally figured out how to use it,
yeah, it doesn't. The only thing about that is if you jump into single player and you start using the mortar gun when you encounter it for the first time, it doesn't tell you how to use it. So there's this one part I played for like three times until I figured out how to use it.
Trying to get the roof open?
Yeah. You got to hold down the R trigger to shoot it out further, and
yeah,
I just tapped it, and just it didn't make it over there. I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Eventually, you know, it just does it itself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if like you, like I sat there so long, like trying to figure out how to get the mortar to land on the roof, that eventually the roof just caves in.
It's like, fuck you, I'm sick of waiting, I'm just going to cave in on myself.
I'm like thinking, but I still sat there and figured out how to use it.
Yeah, it took me like three tries to do it, but now I know how to use it, and it's badass. The flamethrower is badass. There's different driving scenes. There's, oh, which I'm not going to ruin anything. So if you guys need to fucking play it so I can talk more about it.
Well, don't worry. I'll be playing it pretty soon.
Well, the Horde mode is...
You never even beat the first one.
Yeah, well...
I got a story about that.
Oh, good. We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, the Horde mode's awesome. We played it. Us three. You didn't have it.
You didn't have it. We were online playing it Thursday night.
Yes, Horde mode. I actually picked it up.
You actually picked up Gears of War, huh?
Yes.
He was playing Horde mode with us.
And it's just awesome, and it does get tough. It gets tough. Didn't play much of the multiplayer, but I apologize to Altus, because me and Professor Chaos, we were playing through the single player, because the campaign co-op. And I told him we would jump on and get through, get some Horde going, but we kind of didn't, so I apologize to him. We'll get on, though, sometime, and I haven't seen Carnage online to play with him either, so...
You know what? He actually sent me and did something that I wish everybody that played online did. He actually asked me if I wanted him to join my Fable game. He didn't just, like, join in, which is super cool.
Well, yeah,
you should never just jump into somebody's game without asking, regardless of who you are or what you're playing. You should never just jump into somebody's game without asking. So it was very nice of him to actually ask if I wanted him in. And he was also very respectful when I told him that I prefer to play my RPGs by myself.
There you go.
So
that's another thing that I feel bad about, like, when I get online and, like, so many people just nail me with messages, especially now that Gears is out.
Yeah.
Like, I must have got 20 messages to play Gears, like, Friday night, and I wasn't even playing Gears,
right?
But which is the funny thing.
Yeah. But the cool thing is most everybody's really cool about it if you say, hey.
I just feel bad because I never play with anybody because I have so much shit that I have to play.
Exactly.
I didn't necessarily want to be sitting there playing, you know, as much as I like Quantum of Solace, I didn't want to be playing that instead of playing Mortal Kombat or Gears, you know, but...
So I do apologize to Altus and Carnage. I haven't seen online, so we'll get some game playing on sometime, but... the game is awesome. Everyone needs to play it. And if you don't like it, then you don't like it. I mean, it's not for everyone. We've established that. And we've had a nice little word war going on about my review.
It's all right. We've gotten it for every 10 we give out. It's always going to be that way.
Oh, it is a 10. I mean, obviously Sony fanboys won't play it, won't like it. But just play it. If you have a 360, it's not your game. It might change your mind. I mean, the story is awesome. And it does a lot of things right. So, everyone needs to play it, beat it. You will be disappointed at the end. The boss fight's stupid. It's so stupid. It is so disappointing.
It's not as bad as Mirror's Edge, well, I promise you that.
No, but you go through this great game and then you get to...
The ending, I meant, not the game, Jesus. Relax.
The game is great. I mean, this is even great at the end, but the boss fight's a joke. I will tell you, it's not a spoiler or anything, but wait till the end credits.
Yeah, I saw that on the forum. To wait till after the credits.
Speaking of Gears of War spoilers, I have to give a special shout out to all of our moderators.
Yes.
Who went through
for
the forums.
Cracking down on fucking
and the
spoilers.
Stories for the spoiler. The guy that was going around, the people that were going around spoiling the ending to Gears and Resistance.
Right.
You know, I didn't know about Resistance.
Yeah. They went nuts on the forums and on the site, posting all the spoilers to the games.
People were, as alternative sources to stories, were posting spoiler links and just.
That's stupid. Huge credit to the mods for taking care of that.
Cracking down.
Because I only saw one spoiler for Gears. I didn't see anything about Resistance, so that's good. But the thing about the Gears story, though, is midway through it, there is a twist, and I guessed it. So it wasn't a huge, like, what's going to happen?
Ooh, what a twist.
What a twist. So,
it's kind of predictable, but it's a cool thing. And so I can't wait for the third one.
So nice. I guess it means it doesn't wrap up, huh?
There's always going to be a third one. There's always questions. There was a lot of questions left unanswered.
Well, you know, the rumor is Cliffy B's not working on a new Gears right now.
Well, I'm sure he will eventually.
He's working on a survival horror game that's possibly multi-platform.
Yeah.
So. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a third one. There's no doubt. And I'm you know, probably not anytime soon. Maybe next console generation. But whatever.
That'd be the launch game for Xbox 720. Because Gears is in about a two-year life cycle, every 2 years, which is good. I like that cycle better than every year.
Yeah.
But I say launch for the Nexus. That'd be huge.
Yeah, that would be a huge launch.
Huge. You know, that'd be almost as big as a Halo.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's pretty much right up there with Halo.
Yeah. Well, we saw, 2.1 million games played of Gears the first week it came out.
I think, honestly, that it's sort of, now that it's the most recent... It's sort of taken Halo's spot as the 360's mascot or whatever until the next Halo comes out.
Hmm. I'm not too pumped about the next Halo, personally.
I got that in the news about some rumors going on with that, and I'm not happy with it if it's true, which we won't know yet. So, but this game will have me playing multiplayer for a while. I'll even go back and beat the story on, you know, the other levels like I did the first one.
Insane difficulty.
Which they did kind of dumb it down a little bit, because I know I had a little bit of trouble beating it on hardcore for the first one.
The first one was hard as fuck.
The second one is still hard, but it's not hard as fuck.
Yeah. Okay. Because I got to a certain point in the first one, at which, you know, everybody that listens to the podcast knows I wasn't really huge on the first one anyway. But part of the reason I wasn't huge on the first one is I got to a part that was just fucking so hard that it made me give up. So I just...
Well, there's not really any of those moments this time.
Well, the coolest part about the co-op, too, is, like, you can play on normal, and I can play on insane.
Right.
Which, you can play double difficulty.
Which doesn't...
doesn't change the enemies.
Yeah,
it changes how much damage you take.
How much you take and give.
Right. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool how you can do that. But,
yeah.
It does everything right. Everything you wish for and more is in this game, and it's worth playing. So even if you're not a big fan, it's worth playing. Just to see.
It's really good.
Cool. It's awesome.
The 4 or 5 hours that I put into it, I'm really enjoying it. So.
Sweet.
And like I said, story, top notch. Not the best out there. There's a lot more better stories, but this one, it takes the first one and makes it so much better. You actually care. You actually care. It'll make you care, and you hate story.
I don't hate story. Where does this come from?
Will it make me care a lot more better?
Yes, a lot more better. A lot more better.
So what are you looking forward to playing this week?
Well, obviously more Gears. I'm going to try to pick up Mortal Kombat and Left 4 Dead. Maybe
Left
4
Dead's awesome.
So there's three games I want to pick up. I don't know how many games I will. I know I will be getting Little Big Planet this weekend on Friday.
Nice.
So hopefully some of that. So there's a lot of games I want to play. Little Big Planet, Call of Duty, Left 4 Dead, and Mortal Kombat. So out of those four, we'll see how many I'll play.
Nice.
Oh, all right. And MotorStorm, since...
You have that.
Yeah.
Indeed. That's the way to move
there
on.
There you go. Play Gears.
To the Womble.
So, what did I play this week in my sickness? Well, unfortunately, because of several issues, my sickness included, as well as a busy schedule this week, I did not get to the store to pick up Resistance, which makes me very, very sad, because I was really, really looking forward to playing that this week. So, that's a next week. That's a future fondling. Once again.
You're supposed to do that after.
Oh,
love
shit.
Is stumps.
So that was my big disappointment for the week, because I was really wanting to play that this week. But I did play, I played the demo, since Mr. Wolverine didn't mention it, of Left 4 Dead, which is really, really fun.
The fucking
awesome. You know what? It doesn't... I see some people complaining about the graphics and stuff online, and you know what? It doesn't look great. You can tell it's Source Engine. You can tell it's Valve.
It's Half-Life.
But you know what? It plays fucking good.
Oh.
And, you know, does it seem like something that I'm going to invest a ridiculous amount of time in? No, but it does seem like something that, if you were playing online with three or four other people, would be a fucking blast.
Oh.
And awesome. It holds the distinction of actually making me yell... Oh, shit, at the top of my lungs in my house.
When they come running at you?
Well, because I was in the house or whatever, and I'm shooting some, and there's like four zombies in the house, so I'm like, I shoot this one, and then I come around the corner and I shoot this one, and then I look down the stairs and there's two more, and I shoot them, and then I shut the door to the stairs, and there's no more zombies upstairs. So I'm like, okay, I can regroup for a second, kind of figure out what each gun does, you know, what the controls do, get comfortable with it upstairs while there's no zombies before I go downstairs and start fighting more zombies. Out of fucking nowhere, the entire window collapses and like 30 of them come rushing in out of the side. And literally, I screamed, oh shit, at the top of my lungs as they all come rushing at me as I got a pump shotgun trying to as quick as I can.
Oh.
And then one of the, I don't even remember what they're called, one of the zombies with the ridiculous tongues wrapped it around my neck and pulled me in close, and one of my teammates saved me.
Yeah.
It's just, it seems like it's going to be one of those games where not only is it going to be a blast to play with your friends and, like, laugh at each other freaking out when stuff happens, But also, it seems like it's going to be one of those games that you're just like right on the edge of your seat the whole time you're playing it, waiting for the next like wave to jump out of nowhere.
It just doesn't stop.
Right.
It's just nonstop action, and that's awesome.
So I had a lot of fun with that. I only played like one little round. I didn't play it a whole lot.
So you played single?
Yes, I played
the
single player.
Teammates are smart.
Yeah, yeah.
The teammates are really, they heal you and all kinds of stuff.
The only thing that kind of frustrated me about the AI teammates is, once again, I wanted to try and figure out some of the controls and stuff. So once I killed the ridiculous wave of zombies, I ran into the bathroom of the place and shut the door so no zombies would like just walk by and see me and come running in or whatever. And so I could, once again, just kind of get used to the controls and switch out weapons and that kind of stuff. And I get in there, I shut the door, I turn around, and I start like getting ready to do something, and one of my AI teammates just comes over, opens the door, and walks away. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Occupied?
So that was the only kind of frustrating part. But other than that, they seem like they're really smart. Like, they seem like they know where they need to cover and, you know, they pay attention to when you're in trouble. So that was, I mean,
it's so fast.
So far, it gets my thumbs up. That's for sure.
It's really cool and innovative the way that it's done. And
right.
It's a different kind of experience. Instead
right.
of just a standard first-person shooter, it's just like crazy fast.
Yeah, and you never know where anything's going to come from.
And one of the creepiest things is like when you see them standing there and they don't see you, and like you
right.
think you can sneak up on it, and then it turns around and just blasts
just
at you at
run.
Full speed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's visceral, man. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
So I played that and had a lot of fun with that. I played what else did I play this week? I played some more Little Big Planet. Messed around on some stuff there. Actually played, and my mind is getting fuzzy, so I don't even remember if this was this week or last week, but I think it was this week since the last podcast. I played some Little Big Planet with XDM18. Was that last week?
I think that was last week.
It might have been last week.
It might have been.
So there you go. You got mentioned again
on
the podcast. But I played some more Little Big Planet this week, and checked out some other levels and just kind of messed around with that for a little while. Played more Fallout 3, and it's starting to get very difficult, which is fine, but I just need to get myself ramped up for the increased difficulty. I had, you know, I finished a couple more missions in that, and came across some really cool enemies, especially one really cool enemy. Anybody who's beaten the Galaxy News Radio level knows what I'm talking about. I went back and played some more Fable because I realized that I'd sort of neglected it. It became my bastard child when when Fallout and Little Big Planet came out, and decided to go full on evil in Fable.
Dun, 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 dun.
Because I busted down a door just for fun, just to see what it looked like, and the guards came after me. And then I just realized, you know what? I might as well just I'm a goody two shoes in Fallout, so I might as well just go evil in Fable. So I've killed like a total now probably of 50 guards. I'm all the way on like as far evil as you can go. I got the Paragon achievement for one way or the other. And my guy's face, I'm like super pale. My eyes are red. I've died quite a few times, so I've got scars all over my face. And my dog has like glowing red eyes. It's pretty cool.
That's a cool dog.
Yeah. And he growls all the time and stuff. It's pretty neat. But I spent a pretty decent amount of time playing that, actually, and just messing around with stuff. I'm trying to my goal now. My original goal when I first—it's funny how the game sort of changed my opinion on how I was going to play it halfway through. Because my usual approach in games like that is to play sort of the ranger character and play, you know, with bows or in this case with guns or whatever, rather than the hack and slash.
Yeah.
And that was my plan initially in Fable, but now that I'm evil, I find myself wanting to do all strength so I can be just like this big, hulking monster of a beast.
You want to be the tank?
Pretty much, yeah. So
a walking tank.
Yeah, so I'm not actually too much farther in that because I spent a lot of my time killing townsfolk and guards when they came after me, because you get a lot of experience for killing guards, actually.
You're like, I like this.
So,
yeah.
I didn't say it quite like that. That would have been a little
creepy.
So that got a considerable amount of my time this week. And then last night I got Far Cry 2 via Gamefly. So I played through the intro of that. I really, you know, I just got the game yesterday, and I just got a chance to play it for probably a half hour last night. So I played through the entire intro, which is really cool. I'm loving the awesome first person intros lately, from BioShock's awesome beginning to Call of Duty 4 had that awesome scene where you're in the back of the they take you hostage and you're in the back of the truck or whatever, and
yeah, that's awesome.
And then Fallout, obviously, with the, you know, birth to growing up thing, and now, I mean, Far Cry's opening is really cool too. I like the way it's done. And that wraps it up on the console front. On the handheld front, I played for review, which sickness delayed, but hopefully will be up this week. King of Fighters, was it Orochi Saga?
Is it Orochi? I thought it was just King of Fighters Collection.
I think it's
King maybe
of
it is Orochi.
Yeah, I think it's King of Fighters Orochi Saga.
There's so
it's
many
got,
King of Fighter collections, yeah. I lose track.
Yeah.
It's got King of Fighters 94, 95, 96, 97, and 98 in it on the PSP. I definitely like 96 and 98 the best out of the package. They play really good. I have a problem with fighters on the PSP because I don't like I like the D-pad on the PSP, but I don't like the way that your hands fit on the actual system compared to the D-pad. So it makes the move sort of awkward. Unless you want to use the analog stick, which makes it even more awkward because it's very difficult on that little analog stick to tell the difference between up and forward and forward. Other than that, it controls really well, but it's got some really bad loading problems. It takes forever to load. It both when you pick which game you want to play, it takes forever to load. Once you're actually in the game and getting ready to fight, it loads. And then actually mid-fight, sometimes the game just pauses. Like, it just stops. You'll land a punch, and the game will just stop for a second. And then it'll load, like, the next little... It stutters pretty bad. Sometimes it plays perfect. Sometimes you don't even notice it. And sometimes it stutters like you were talking about Sega CD Mortal Kombat
and Sega Saturn Mortal Kombat,
right? Sega
too.
Saturn, yeah,
yeah.
So that's kind of an issue. And then it loads. Of course, anybody who's played King of Fighters knows that it's 3-on-3. Once you beat one of the people on the other team, it loads, and then the next person comes out. So there's too many pauses in the action for my taste, and you know, load times on the PSP are pretty slow anyway for most games, but it's got some load issues. But you know, I like King of Fighters 96 and King of Fighters 98. I don't like 97 because it doesn't have Iori in it for some reason, at least as far as I saw. It only gives you 15 seconds to pick a character, so
hope you know who you want.
Yeah, exactly. You have to pick three characters in like 20 or 15 seconds.
Jesus.
I didn't see him in 97, and he's my favorite character in the series. So, like I said, plays great. Load times are an issue. I should have my review up this week. It's definitely a good value for your money because you're getting five full games for it. 94, I don't even particularly care for, to be honest.
Well, it's only 14 years old.
It's not. Yeah. Well, it's not that it's a bad game. It's just I don't like the way it plays compared to the way, say, 96 plays. At the very least, it's probably, if you're a huge fan of fighting games or if you're a huge fan of King of Fighters, it's worth the price of admission. Just be prepared to deal with some irritation in terms of sitting there and waiting on it to load. So, And that, I think, pretty much wraps it up.
And besides Resistance, what are you looking forward to this week?
My hope is to get Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe this week. That's the hope. That's the dream.
Hopes and dreams. And it's a bag of dreams.
I'll be playing some more Far Cry. I heard from THQ this week they're going to be sending me the new Destroy All Humans for 360 and the PS3. They're just sending me one, but the game is for the 360 and the PS3. So that I probably won't get until a week of release, which I believe is December 1st.
Yep.
So that's sort of a couple weeks future fondling. And then I should also be getting Disney's Ultimate Band. I've got that conference call this week, so on next week's podcast, I'll let you know what comes up on the Disney's Ultimate Band conference call.
Hannah Montana.
And then I'll have, you know, obviously a review once they send me the copy of that. But I've got one other thing that I'm kind of hoping I can play this week, but it depends. It depends on whether I can get a hold of something or not.
We'll see. Mystery game.
I don't want to say, because then if I don't get to play it, I'm going to sound like a douchebag.
Well, you're also going to be playing Mirror's Edge this week.
There you go. Yes, absolutely. I am going to be playing Mirror's Edge this week.
There you go.
I forgot about that. Hmm. So.
So how about you, Mr. Khan? What have you been playing and not reviewing?
Well, that would be the Korg synthesizer title for the Nintendo DS. Played some more of that. It's freaking awesome. I love it. And also on DS, I returned to Dragon Quest IV.
Is it British?
Four.
Four. Welcome. Henceforth.
Yes. And got a little bit further than that.
Is that tasty?
Yes.
I'm really enjoying myself.
As long as you enjoy yourself in the privacy of your own home, it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't do that in public or they'll arrest you again.
Oh. But anyway, let me see here. You kind of derailed me.
Sorry about that. Masturbation jokes tend to do that, I guess.
Yeah, they do. I'm also sick.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, my computer caught a virus and gave it to me. So
I love my computer.
My computer. But
much.
I guess it's not good to try to Bad Religion reference on.
Yeah.
If nobody listens to Bad Religion.
On PS3, I played some more Little Big Planet, and It was pretty funny because I accidentally went into a multiplayer room and got to play with some other players. And this guy, he was coming through my his voice chat was coming through my speakers on my TV like really loud, and he was speaking in German.
Nice,
but.
Oh. There's a big butt.
Big ass butt.
Up a storm.
In German?
I could tell there were English curse words mixed with his German.
Shine shines a fuck.
Exactly.
Did he get on there and say, come with me
into the trees.
You know, that's a Depeche Mode song.
We lay
originally.
On the grass.
We let our pass.
Yeah, that song was originally Depeche Mode.
Really?
Well, yeah.
The Rammstein version is so much creepier.
I don't know.
So much creepier.
The Depeche Mode version is pretty creepy, too.
Yeah, but listening to him try to speak English is creepy in and of itself.
Yeah.
Seriously, if I walked, if I were just like... in a dark house, and I heard the beginning of that song, I would probably shit myself.
I would
come
run out of that house as fast as I could. Even if there wasn't a door, I would make a door. And,
yeah, anybody who hasn't heard it, you should go legally download.
It's the last track on Sinsucht.
Yeah, Stripped by Rammstein.
Yes.
Stripped by Rammstein.
It might be the creepiest song you will ever hear.
Yeah.
Come back to the land.
But I got
your,
to hear
your skin will crawl.
Some German guy curse up a storm playing Little Big Planet.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Was it maybe that Was it maybe that German kid that's on that video you see online all the time where he's like slamming his computer keyboard and cursing at his... Have you seen that video?
Yeah.
He's playing Resident Evil, isn't he?
I don't know what he's playing. He's playing something on his PC, and he just
He actually had a really deep voice.
He starts rocking, like he's trying to get it to start, and he thinks it's going to boot up, and then it doesn't, and then he...
Scheiße!
And then he can't figure out why he keeps dying. Oh. You should see it.
Oh, I remember it was a bunch of screaming German, some F-word and the SH-word, and I was like, nice. Wow, that's pretty sweet.
It's pretty crazy that a game about a little... adorable sack could make a German man scream and cuss at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, curse in English, but speaking in German. But anyway, onto the next subject matter before I make a complete nutter fool of myself.
That's enough of us completely alienating our German listeners.
I played the demo for Left 4 Dead.
Nice.
And I really like it. I think it's magically delicious. Yeah. You can put that on the back of the box.
You're not Irish, jackass.
That is awesome.
But yeah, those...
The wee bit of my zombie charms.
Wow.
That game lured me into a false sense of security.
There's no security in that game.
Yeah, I'm just walking around. Boom, boom. Yeah, boom, boom. Yeah, I got the hang of this. The freaking door just busts open. The freaking, 30 zombies run in, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah,
man.
That's definitely a shouter.
Poop on a stick.
Yeah. It makes me want to shout. But
kick my heels up and shout. Yeah. Throw my head back and shout. Come on now.
You're
not shouting, Wolverine. I'm disappointed.
My
Lions are beating your Panthers right now.
I beat the first level, so...
You're 0-9 Lions.
Yeah, my 0-9 Lions.
It's the first
Just throwing quarter. That out there.
Oh, my God.
It's all right. The Dolphins are beating my Raiders.
Oh, there's a shocker.
But anyway...
Who intercepted you 4 times last week?
I might pick up Left 4 Dead in the future. It depends on...
Cash flow?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to stop buying your computer all those presents so you can try to coerce it.
Yeah, I have to buy some antivirus protection. But
sell that at the drugstore.
Yeah. Do sell that at the drugstore.
Yeah, behind the register.
Or coincidentally, on the UFC fight last night, I saw they were advertising condomdepot.com.
What?
So there you go.
Holy Toledo. But
they have a depot of condoms?
Seriously. But three fighters had it on their trunks, and they had it on one of the little side.
I don't even want to
thanks.
Know about that.
Condomdepot.com.
Well, thanks for the plug. I bet it smells like rubber in there.
Man.
I think I just turned 12 there.
It smells like rubber in there.
But
so what else you playing?
Then, okay, I decided... I was listening to some podcasts, and one of them was talking about Gears of War 2. That was awesome. And I was like...
Was it this one?
No.
Oh.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Took the advice of another podcast?
Yeah, I do it sometimes. Hey, it makes me more well-rounded. But anyway, I was like, huh, I haven't even, went through the first one. So I started playing through the first one, Started from scratch, playing through Act 1. And I was like, I'm really enjoying how this game plays, because I played it before, but it was me and Zero.
Yeah.
We were playing co-op.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago or something like that when it first came out. And I never got around to, do any more of the co-op, so I was kind of like, it was collecting dust on my shelf. So I started playing it from the beginning. I was like, man, I'm really getting the hang of this. I really like how this game plays, And then I was like, hearing about how Horde mode is awesome. So I just went ahead. It was like an impulse buy. I was like, dude, I went to the game store. I was like, yeah, Gears of War 2. Give me Gears of War 2. So it's like, so I made up in my mind that I was only going to play Horde mode in Gears of War 2 until
you beat the first one?
The first one, yes. So I played through Act 1 completely, played all the way through Act 2, played all the way through Act 3, played about halfway through Act 4. And then the other day when I loaded up my game, it couldn't load my save.
What?
Yeah, I think I might have a corrupt save file.
Oh,
on the second one?
On the first one.
Oh, okay.
The manufacturer?
It did it to me on the second one a couple of times, and I just logged out, logged back in, everything's fine.
Oh, the manufacturing mastery of the Xbox 360.
I logged in and out like 4 times on the first one, and I'm like...
Never happened on the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I had a scare the other day, speaking of which.
Really?
It, my system, I was playing Fallout. And it started to, and I'm like, no, don't you fucking dare.
Hey, you know, after Wednesday, you won't have to.
Yeah, that's true.
You can install Fallout.
There you go. And then all of a sudden, unable to read disk.
Oh, snap.
I'm like, don't tell me that. Do not tell me that. So I tried it again. I just clicked. I didn't open the drive or anything. I just clicked on the play game. And unable to read disk. I'm like, do not do this to me, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I opened the drive, and I closed it again, and it worked. So crisis averted for now. But
that's not a good sign,
the corrupted save file made me think about my system's mortality again.
That's pretty scary. It might be that time of the year again.
I know.
That time of year.
It's sad, and I don't know if it's under warranty, if mine's under warranty anymore.
I thought
it should
be 3 years from
purchase.
Yeah,
it should be.
And it's only been out for 3 years.
Yeah,
so
it should be.
It should be good.
Yeah. So, let me see. Yeah, I was really enjoying the single-player campaign of the original Gears of War. I tell you, my favorite act is Act 3.
Well, it's been so long since I played the first one.
Okay.
I remember Act 3.
Okay, Act 3 is so awesome because, here it is. I'll give you a little bit of a rundown. You start off in the rain.
Oh, okay, I got
you. Yeah, you're rain. It's raining, it's a night, it's beautiful. It's like some of the best graphics I've ever seen. And here I am 2 years later after the game came out, and I'm like, wow, this is some of the best graphics I've ever seen on a current-gen console. So... you go to this factory, and it's all raining. The factory looks cool. You end up going inside the factory, and it looks really awesome. It's like got all this cool lighting and all that. And
it's right before the minecart level.
Yes.
Just like in DuckTales.
Yes. I love the minecart area, man. I was like, man, this is freaking awesome. I'm in a freaking minecart, you know, shooting these monsters. And then if that wasn't enough, after that part, you end up in a giant cave, and you're going through this cave, and there's, like, lava and all kinds of crazy stuff going on down there. And it's like, there's a part where it's like you see, like, two lava, like, waterfalls, and it just looks so beautiful. And I was like, oh, my God, that's beautiful, like, backdrop.
And the second one looks even better.
Holy crap, I can't wait. But, and then toward the end, you know, you actually, if that wasn't cool enough, then you got to fight a giant spider where you have to shoot its belly, and then it screams, and then you shoot it in the face.
Don't do
it.
It
screams.
So, and then you lure the spider to this, like, area, and then you drop the floor under it, and the spider, like, it starts screaming, and it's like, it's in the lava.
Oh, God!
I'm drowning
I
in
fell
the
through
lava.
The floor!
Yeah. So I was like... that's probably one of the coolest levels I've ever played in a current gen video game ever.
Yep. And maybe that's just the first one.
Maybe after I return your Mirror's Edge, I'll have to borrow the first Gears.
Yeah, I have that too.
But yeah, I was like, when I tried loading up my save, because I was probably about 30 minutes into Act 4, you know, it wouldn't load up. It kept on pushing me back to the previous menu, and I was getting really pissed off. So I put in, you know, Fallout just to see if my save was still there. And it's still there. So I'm like, it's probably just indigenous to this particular title. So I was like, okay. So
nice
then,
word, by the way. I like that.
Indigenous. Thank you.
I like
thank
the way you threw you. That in there.
He's been on dictionary.com.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm a big fan of words. So
words are cool, man.
Whoa. Fart. Word fart.
Fart. That's a cool word. But
my favorite four-letter F word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not mine.
So basically, I put in Gears of War 2 and started the single player campaign just to see if the save feature works, because it's another Gears game. I guess I'm kind of paranoid now, just to see if games will save. And I played a little bit of the training mode because it says, do you want training or non-training?
Right.
I was like, oh, I'll go through training, you know, let's see how it works in this game. So I literally played 5 minutes into the campaign of Gears 2, and I can already see the improvements. It seems like it's even more of a realized world. There's even more radio chatter, which to tell you the truth, I actually was enjoying the non-existent narrative of Gears of War 1. Not necessarily like the story, but the chatter between all the characters. Coltrane and, you know, and Dom and Baird and you know, Marcus Fenix, you know, how all how they play off words and you know, how when they're killing stuff, they do one-liners and stuff. I was getting into it, man. I was like, yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah.
That's
Wait
what I would say.
Wait until you get to where in the second one, Colt just goes off on a rant. Goes off on a rant. And it's hilarious.
Coltrane, man, I think he's awesome. Cole's probably one of my favorite characters in the game. But I also like Dom. I really like the you know, the soft spoken character. He kind of reminds me of myself. But I'm really liking the original Gears until the
save file ruined your day.
Yeah, and the thing is, the reason why I didn't play more of Gears of War 2 was because I didn't want to play it in a pissed off state of mind. So I was like, I'll play it when I'm feeling better. So future fondling will be more Gears, because despite me not being much of a shooter person, and despite the fact that I didn't really play any Gears at all, I feel like I'm making up for lost time, and I'm really, 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 really enjoying myself, almost to the point where I want to call it but a better franchise than Halo.
There you go. So, all Gears this week, then?
All Gears, and of course, the Mortal Kombat versus DC, which I saw someone playing on my friends list.
Who was
Zero.
That?
It was you.
Was me?
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear your impressions of it.
You're going to have to wait a little while, because that'll probably be the last thing I talk about.
Okay, cool. But that's it.
All right, well, I guess I get to dive into my fondling.
Yeah.
My fondling. I played the Left 4 Dead demo. Can't wait. Super excited. I'm very looking forward to playing this game, both offline and online, because it's just the experience is awesome. Well, I don't even know where to start. I played Banjo-Kazooie because I got the early Xbox Live Arcade code for pre-ordering Nuts and Bolts. And I forgot, like, how much I just like a traditional platformer game. I only played it for, like, a half hour just to kind of get into
it. So this is the arcade game.
This is the arcade game, the original Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
And it was actually nice that I went and played this because, you know, I hadn't played it in so long that I don't remember all the characters and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because then after I played that, I played Nuts and Bolts. And there's something omitted from the Nuts and Bolts demo that everybody should have got. You start the level off. You start the game off. And Banjo and Kazooie are fat. They are fat beyond belief. They're sitting around eating pizza, watching TV. and the joke is kind of like, I haven't had to do anything for like 10 years.
Right.
So they've just been sitting around being fat and lazy.
That's awesome.
And then you actually get to play as Banjo and Kazooie when they're fat.
Nice.
And you're walking around, you can't jump really high, and like people are making fun of you and all this stuff, and then you realize this guy comes in and he starts telling you that he's going to take you into his video game. He's the master of all games, or whatever, that guy you saw from the demo with the TV face.
Pong guy.
And he's like, I'm going to resurrect Gruntilda, as a robot, and you guys are going to have to fight her in my game world. He's like, and I know how much you love collectathons. So, like, he literally dumps you into this thing, and you're still fat, and you have, and it's just like a million musical notes on the level, and you just start collecting them.
Nice.
And then he stops you. He's like, no, I realize nobody wants to play this. He's like, so we're going to... He's like, everybody wants to shoot space aliens. So... And it's funny because the dialogue is going back and forth, and the guy's like, I have created every video game since the beginning of time. And Kazooie goes, even the ones that don't sell well, like Ghoulies, they were making fun of their own shit within the game. And it's the dialogue is just hilarious how they go back and forth. But Nuts and Bolts, there's a lot of genius in there. But there's a lot of tedium in there, too.
Yeah.
So it is exactly like the demo. Like, the first mission I did was cool, and, like, the levels are cool, and just it's so pretty, and there's so much that it does, but there are some things that it just doesn't do well. And the reason why I picked it up is because I took Monopoly back because it sucked. I figured, yeah, what the hell, I'll get Nuts and Bolts. So I'll play it more this week, but I've only played it for, like, 45 minutes. What else did I play? I also played the new live arcade game, finally, the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And virtual Jeff Foxworthy creeps me out to no end. But it really humbles me and makes me feel kind of stupid. because most of the time, I'm not smarter than a fifth grader. I'm really not. It has 6,000 questions.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is huge. It is fun. It's your typical trivia game. It's basically Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You know, you have all these questions, and you have three lifelines, which they call cheats. But the questions are simple, but at the same time, they make you feel stupid because you don't remember some of this stuff. Ooh.
Yeah, don't do that again.
Sorry. What else did I play this week? I played Call of Duty World at War.
How is that?
I'm going to scare the entire internet right now by saying that it's better than Call of Duty 4.
Holy Toledo!
People can say whatever they want to me, but, like, literally, like, the set pieces in this game are incredible. Absolutely incredible. It is so visceral. It is so over the top. It is just... Some of the stuff you do in that game, it basically is Call of Duty 4's engine. It's the same engine. It's the same visuals. But they do so much with the World War II setting that I know people are sick and tired of the World War II setting, but... This just reinvigorates me into this game. And if every World War II game was like this, I wouldn't care. Because it is just that good. Like, the opening level is just insane. And then, like, you go through these different... Like, the first level is in a nighttime jungle. And it's just insane how much stuff goes on in this jungle. Like, the kamikaze troops come up and just run at you with bombs and grenades in their hands. And, like, there was an ambush that happens in the first level. And I was just enthralled when it happened. Like, we're walking through this dark jungle and all of a sudden this flare goes up and all these soldiers pop up out of the grass. They've been laying there the whole time. Like, acting dead. And they just pop up out of the ground and just start attacking you. And it's insane. And then, like, the next level, you're out in this, like, field. And you can call airstrikes. And the airstrikes are just insane. Like, when they explode, you just see bodies flying everywhere. I mean, it's... I don't know why I'm this into a World War II game again. But it is absolutely incredible. At this point, the level that I just started... Literally, I'm sitting there and I watch all these Japanese soldiers just execute all these American soldiers. And I'm thinking it's a cutscene. And then the game takes over and I'm actually crawling out from underneath this thing right in the middle of all this.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh shit, what am I going to do? You know, but that's the level I'm at now and it's just, there's so much good about it. The multiplayer, like I said, it's Call of Duty 4 with new perks. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I was a voice acting with the Kiefer.
Oh, Kiefer's the man.
Yeah.
Kiefer 24 Sutherland.
Who does he voice Jack in the Power. Game?
He voiced, like, your main lieutenant or whatever. Oh, gotcha. You're like your commander. He's always telling you where to go and where to do stuff. And it's like Call of Duty 4 where there's a lot of scripted events, but they're just so over the top and so visceral, and it's just, it really draws you into the game. It really does. Story, you know, it's a typical World War II story. Hey, you, me and my comrades gonna go take this over, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
There is actually a Storming the Beach level again, which is actually really good. You expect it to be typical and the same as everything else, but it was really done well. It's just, I can't get over how good this game is. It's like everybody wrote this game off, and they really shouldn't have.
So is it Normandy?
No, it's a lot of different things. It's what I've played mostly so far has been Japanese.
He's talking about the Storming the Beach thing.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know where
Normandy.
The Storming the Beach wasn't. It's not Normandy because it is. It's still Japanese soldiers when you hit it. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
Normandy is Germany. German soldiers.
You climb up the cliff afterwards, which there's no cliff here. You basically get off of the boat, and then you go up this beach, and then there's like this hut there, and that's where you first get the flamethrower. Which, they've really done some cool stuff with the weapons, like including the flamethrower. There's also a grenade launcher attachment to your gun. It's like, it's basically a grenade attached to a thing, like wrapped around, and you just shoot it into like people and it explodes. Nice. But it's very good. I played Legendary.
Is it legendary in its fail?
It's definitely not legendary. But the game is really, it really draws you into the world. It is really cool. And that was really the big thing about the game for me, was the whole idea behind Pandora's Box, opening up, you know, destroying the world, all that good stuff. And all that stuff works. And in fact, the opening of this game, from the moment you leave the museum as you walk through the city at the beginning, is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. Frame rate problems aside, obviously, but it was really cool. But then you start to realize what the game does wrong. And what the game does wrong is, what's magical is you're walking through the city, cars are exploding all around you, buildings are falling, things are just happening. Somehow, all of these buildings and cars fall to create one little path that you have to stay on. And it's literally big enough for you to walk through for most of the game. So that kind of takes you out of it. The second thing that takes me out of it, the gunplay is fine. There's nothing wrong with the gunplay. There's nothing wrong with the melee. The healing system is atrocious. Basically, throughout the level, when you kill an enemy, you'll see these little orbs that pop up, and they're basically like, when you open the box, you get like this thing on your hand. So you have like this power with your hand. The problem is that everything that you do with your hand is done with one button. So when you suck in the orbs, you have to hold Y to suck them in.
Uh-huh.
You also have to hold Y to heal yourself. You cannot walk over the orbs and pick them up and they just heal you. You have to hold the button to heal yourself. On top of that, in order to use your power with your hand, you double tap Y. So there are three things mapped to one button. And healing is the worst of them, because if you get in the middle of a firefight, it takes a couple seconds for him to start healing. So by the, literally there are times where the amount that you heal is taken back off by the shots or the hits that you're taking while you're healing. So it really kind of breaks the game, and it's hard as shit. Like, I've died 12 times, and I've only played for very little. I mean, it's just, it takes you out of it so much. And the other thing that pisses me off is, like, the enemies are the coolest thing about the game. Obviously, like, the fire dragons that you run into at the beginning, those are really cool. And then you run into the core enemy of the game, which are the werewolves. It was a cool idea at first. When you kill a werewolf, you have to cut its head off, otherwise it just comes back to life.
Uh-huh.
After, like, the 15th or 20th one, I'm like, all right, I seriously am tired of cutting off werewolf heads. Because especially in this one area where I was at, I was trying to do this puzzle where you were moving these crates around, these big crates. And it's a puzzle that you have to sit there and think about what you want to do. Well, the level decides to spawn a werewolf. Every time you kill one, it spawns another one while you're trying to do this puzzle. So not only do you have to deal with this puzzle, but then you have to go back, kill the werewolf, cut off its head, take its energy, heal yourself, and then go back to doing the puzzle. Which is annoying as shit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing about this game is, if you paid $20 or $30 for it, you could forgive all of this stuff. But it's a $60 game. So it's hard to forgive all of these issues. So, other than that, I mean, the problem with this game is I really want to like it. I really do. And right now I can't. I played more Quantum of Solace. It gets better the further you go. It really does. I'm really starting to enjoy that game.
Has anybody seen the movie?
No.
I have not.
Not yet.
My goal... I've got to get my wife to finish watching it. We got like halfway through it, and then we ended up, it was like 2:30 in the morning, so we went to bed. So, but we got to finish watching the last, because it's long as crap, the first Casino Royale. So we got to watch the next hour and a half, and then we're planning to go see it sometime this week.
Sweet.
But the game is, if you're a Bond fan, I definitely recommend checking it out. I mean, the multiplayer is cool. The single player is cool because it bounces back and forth between the two movies. The more I play it, the more I like it. It's a decent, movie game. It really is. I also played, Baja 1000, whatever.
Oh, the imitation Baja game?
With MotorStorm and Pure, yeah. No.
There's no reason for
it. No reason. It's ass ugly. It doesn't play bad except for the fact that the cars, like, slide around like they're on ice all the time. They don't feel connected to the ground. which is kind of weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Trying to think of anything else I played before the big one. I know I'm missing something.
Did you say Gears already?
I played very little Gears this week. I played through a couple more campaign missions, and I played Horde.
Which was fun.
No Fallout 3 this week?
No Fallout, no Fable, no Little Big Planet. I did play MotorStorm Online for. It's like I don't have time for like all these games. It's sick.
Did you get Mirror's Edge already? Was I downstairs when you talked about?
Yeah, I beat it already.
No, I mean, did you already?
I talked about it last week. I did beat Mirror's Edge. I was writing my review this morning before the podcast. I'm gonna finish it up, and that'll be up tomorrow. Blink and it's over. It's about as short as Heavenly Sword.
Oh, wow.
it's really short. I do like a lot of what it does, but there are a lot of things that kind of agitate me. And then we can talk about the big one. Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
And how is it?
I did get my review copy on Friday, and I have to say that I'm extremely pleased. I'm very happy with the game. It does play a lot like Mortal Kombat 4. Which I know a lot of people will grumble at, but I actually liked 4. It plays at a 2D perspective. So your sweeps, your uppercuts, and your roundhouse kicks are back, which I've missed those. I don't know Mortal Kombat fans understand what I'm talking about, but I have missed those for many years. And you can move in 3D, but honestly, I don't use it much. Basically, you just hold down the left trigger or use the analog stick to move in 3D. The D-pad is used for all the regular fighting moves, which the 360 D-pad has given me more headache so far than... But it's mostly for the fatalities, not for the moves. The moves work fine with the D-pad. The game does play really well. It looks really good. The storyline actually does make sense, but that's, of course, if you accept the... you know, the fact that it's Mortal Kombat in DC Comics, which, you know, if you've read a comic book lately, you understand that there's a lot of ridiculousness going on anyway.
Yeah, multiverse.
Yeah, and this is the same kind of idea where the two universes are obviously merging, blah, 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 blah. You know, the storyline is huge. It takes you an hour and a half to get through the entire story mode on either side. It is huge. And it's not bad acted, but the voices seem to be repetitive. Like, a lot of the characters sound like they're voiced by the same person, which kind of takes a little bit away from it. Although the Joker does sound like it's Hamill, so I'm very kind of happy about that. The fatalities are kind of bunk. Some of them are very cool. Some of them are not. Some of them are very stupid. And you can blame that on the T rating. The Joker's fatality is obviously not the only one censored. I would guess Deathstroke's was censored as well, because he kind of does the same thing. I'm trying to think of what else to talk about this game. I mean, it plays good.
How's the presentation?
Actually, that was one of the things that bothered me, is like the main menu, and I know this is a stupid thing to complain about, but the main menu felt very budget. I mean, it really
did in Armageddon, too.
Yeah, it feels... I mean, this one's worse than Armageddon.
Really?
I'm very kind of disappointed in it.
Does it have the passcode?
The passcode?
The code you got to use?
Oh, for your profile?
Yeah.
No, there's no passcode, there's no crypt, there's really nothing extra in this game.
The code was stupid.
There's really not. There's arcade mode and story mode. Obviously, story mode has got all the cutscenes in it. It's long. It will take you a while to get through. The arcade mode, you basically play through a tier of characters. You can choose if you want it mixed, you want it DC, or just want it Mortal Kombat. The endings for the arcade mode are very generic. They're one picture with a guy overdubbing a voice, and he tells you what happened. It's kind of generic.
How about the story mode?
The story mode is really well done. It's long. Basically, you'll do a chapter. Like, a chapter consists of, like, 3 fights. Like, in the DC one, you start off as Flash, and Flash does these different fights with different people, and basically you'll do this cutscene, and then the cutscene transitions directly into the fight. You cannot do fatalities in the story mode.
Wow.
Just putting that out there. It's basically a 3-round fight. Best of 3 wins, and then you move on to the next chapter. There's no fatalities in the story mode.
That's sort of disappointing.
Was disappointing to me because, like, I could be trying my fatalities while I was playing this, and you can't do them. And I guess they did that because, you know, you can't really kill the guy in the story. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it wouldn't make sense to... Of course, it's Mortal Kombat DC. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense anyway, but it wouldn't make sense to kill the guy and then he'd be in the next cutscene.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess that's why they did it. The fatalities do have distances, which I didn't know when I first started playing it. Yeah,
back to distances.
They're back to distances, but it's only on some of them. Like, I think about 80% of them worked standing right next to the character. But then there were some I'm like, why aren't these working? Huh. And then I step back a couple steps, and they work fine. There are still about 7 or 8 fatalities that just elude me. I cannot get them to work. I cannot get either of Green Lanterns to work. I just can't. I couldn't get Wonder Woman's second one to work.
Does it have in-game a move list that tells you what their fatality is?
Nope.
Are you going to have to look it up on
the web? You're
going
to have to look it up on the web. Gotcha. Yep.
Like the old days.
All the moves are in there. All the moves are in your pause menu, but everything else is not. And good luck on the combo challenges if you even try to attempt them. They're all about timing, and they are ridiculously strict timing. And they're not like XXYY back in A, you know. It is nice that all the moves kind of work in the same function. Like, it's either down to forward, back forward, forward forward, down to back. You know, there's no crazy, like, 400 button combination inputs to do a move. There are some unbalanced characters. I think the Flash is the most unbalanced character.
Is he the most powerful?
Oh, he's ridiculously incredibly. I mean, you can combo somebody for a massive amount of hits. The one thing I did want to mention that I'm happy about that does not break the game is the close combat and the free fall combat.
Yeah, I was concerned about close combat.
That kind of stuff does not break it because literally, basically what it does is you tap the left bumper, I think it is, and you go into close combat. And then basically, it's a guessing game. So you can press X, and if I didn't press X, you don't get it. You don't get to see my button combo before you get to react. You basically just have to guess what button I'm going to push and when I'm going to push it. Because I could just stand there and never hit you. So I could just stand there and never hit you, and I can hit you anytime I want, and I can press any button I want, and you have to guess which one I'm going to hit and then when I'm going to hit it. So it doesn't break it. And the maximum amount of damage you can do in either of those is 30%. So it's not... you also have to earn combo breakers. Like, you have a meter at the top, and it fills up. When you fill up one bar, it's one combo breaker. If you fill them both up, it's 2 combo breakers or Rage Meter. Which Rage Meter... You really can't get hurt when you're in rage mode. So if you see somebody go into rage mode, it's best just to get away from them because you can't hit them. You'll just hit them and it'll make like a metal clank sound and then your fist will just bounce off. So, yeah, it's best to stay away from them when they're in rage mode.
Sounds like there's a lot of experimental gameplay in this game.
There is a lot of experimental gameplay, and you can string together different stuff like... that's not in the game. You can string together moves along with uppercuts and different stuff. And there's advanced moves too that, like, you know how Sonya has the bicycle kick up. There's also an advanced timing move where you can do it back down. So, but that's only if you're good enough at the timing. Flash has like a super move where he can hit you 3 times before you hit the ground. So
nice.
I mean, it's all the DC characters have all their powers. All the Mortal Kombat characters have all their old moves.
So how's the backgrounds? Are the backgrounds pretty sweet?
The backgrounds are pretty cool. They seem to be very DC heavy. Like most of the time I fight in the Batcave or the Green Lantern core area, the Fortress of Solitude. Some of the levels are actually really cool because they're levels of where the worlds have merged. So Wonder Woman's world is merged with Outworld, and like there's a line going down the middle, and like you can fight in between both of them. So, if you're a fan of Mortal Kombat, you will love this game, other than the fatalities. If you're a fan of DC, you will love this game. If you're a fan of both, it's heaven. So, there you go.
Sweet.
You will be really happy. It's not going to change anybody's opinion about the series. If you're not a fan of Mortal Kombat, this isn't going to be your thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just not. It feels Mortal Kombat all the way. So, but if you are a fan, you will enjoy it. This week... Tomb Raider, Underworld. Nobody mentioned that, so I'll mention that. I guess nobody else looking forward to it but me.
Well, it's on my Gamefly list, so who knows if I'll get it.
Also, Left 4 Dead, obviously. I should have review copies of Need for Speed and NCAA Basketball this week. I'm trying to think. I'll probably try to play some more other games because this week is probably going to be the biggest week of reviews in the history of the site. There's probably about 20 going up this week. It's insane. So, none of them by GamersCon.
If you, I can do NCAA if you want.
Okay. But yeah, it's going to be a busy week. And the way it looks, this may be the last busy week, and then it'd be time to catch up.
Yeah.
So, but I think that wraps me up. So there you go.
Nice. In cellophane.
In cellophane.
With just one little breathing hole.
Yeah. But it's time to do some news.
And now... News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents Killer Wolverine's Weekly Dirt. Brought to you by blank blank's world famous blank blank. It'll blank your blank while it blanks you in the blank. See Midway? It's just not as fun without the mature content. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
That was good. That was good.
You like that? All right. First up, we have Ubisoft announced that it has acquired from Activision Blizzard the assets and all of the personnel of Sweden-based Massive Entertainment, as well as the RTS brand World in Conflict.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Indeed. Need for Speed Undercover has gone gold, which is good to be out this week.
I saw the commercial for that yesterday on TV.
Looks pretty neat, don't it?
Doesn't look bad.
It looks neat.
Looks
but
like
it
a
just
Need for Speed game.
Looks like Need for Speed. Yeah.
I mean, like the movie scenes, they got this like glossed over.
You apparently missed the last two games, then, haven't you?
Yeah.
They've been doing that for two games.
Oh, okay.
So
it's got a lot of yellow in it.
Contrary to what Rare reported last week, they have announced they're working on a patch to fix the subtitle readability issues in Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts on standard definition TVs. EA has announced some premium upgrade packs for Dead Space. We'll give Isaac Clarke some ultimate necromorph dismembering equipment.
Nice.
There's a lot of stuff up there.
Yeah, there is.
Battlefield Bad Company Community Map Pack is now available and contains two single-player levels turned into playgrounds for fierce multiplayer conquest warfare as chosen by the players. This free map pack also contains the two dice choices, bringing the total number of maps to four. Speaking to VideoGamer.com, lead designer of Rock Band 2, Dan Teasdale, said that he had played a little with World Tour studio functions and come away with a few ideas. The main one is that you can't do it half-arsed, said Teasdale. If you want to do a way to let players create and distribute music, you have to go all in, not just do it as a bullet on the back of the box. We actually want to find a way for people to create music and express themselves, but when we do, we want to make sure that people can sing, or the songs can be longer than 3 minutes, or that you can have more than 1,200 notes. We want to make sure it's an authentic experience and it fits on the platform.
Well, basically, he was just like, your game sucks because of this, this, and this. Eat it.
That's nice. When theirs didn't even contain it.
Right, exactly.
It's always big to make fun of the man when you didn't even do it. The Wii's Virtual Console had Mega Man 3 this week.
Sweet.
Activision announced that they have bought developer Budcat Creations.
What?
And have already had them out to work on a new game in the Guitar Hero franchise.
Oh, big shock there.
Yeah, farm it, boys. Farm it. Kotaku is reporting that DDR is becoming a musical, starring as the World Turns actor Van Hanses. It will feature the original songs, a 40-person cast, and DDR. The plot, it's set in an Orwellian society where a dance prophet named Moonbeam Funk helps dancing youth gangs rebel against a fascist government. Isn't this the storyline to Break in 2, Electric Boogaloo?
It sounds like it. Oh, my God. This sounds like the worst movie ever made.
The company, it's a musical. Like the Broadway musical, man. The company working on the show describes it as like Footloose set in the future, but kind of scarier, and with 40 really attractive, barely clothed young actors and buckets of free beer.
I hope that's a joke. I hope that's a joke.
Kotaku has the list of Kmart and Sears Black Friday catalogs, which I also saw the Target ones this morning. I don't know if this was a misprint, but it listed the Wii version of Guitar Hero World Tour for $59.
What?
The bundle?
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. You can't even keep it in stock at
$189. Hmm.
Kotaku has also reported that Little Big Planet levels are getting moderated out of existence. Just create a level that references anyone else's IP and you're at risk of losing all your work on the spot, which kills a lot of love from me.
Well, I don't know if it's in your news, but I think I read somewhere from Media Molecule that it was like less than 2% of the levels had been moderated.
Two people filed suit in federal court against EA back in October, alleging that SecureROM digital rights management installed on their machines by a trial version of Spore Creature Creator and a full version of The Sims constitutes unlawful and deceptive business practices.
People just suing to sue.
Copyrighted songs that are being recreated in Guitar Hero World Tour are being taken down.
Now see, I knew that. We all knew that, but people didn't listen.
Good thing I got Back in Black real quick. Sherry Redstone has left her midway position to help out Daddy's business, National Amusements.
Yeah, and I used to work for him. She's a nice lady.
Wow.
She's a nice lady.
Huh? EGM's Quarterman. The rumor column that Cliffy B, as we talked about earlier, is making a new game that will, quote, mix the bloody visceral elements of Gears of War with psychological terror.
And that, interesting.
The word visceral's popped up on the podcast a lot today.
Visceral.
Yeah,
it's been a very visceral podcast.
It's very visceral. Speaking with 1UP Rare's Mark Betteridge was asked about the chances of us seeing more Rare games on Xbox Live Arcade now that the original Banjo is up for download. Surprisingly, fortunately, Betteridge did not beat around the bush. He said, sure, it's something that we've been looking at. It's all about building a platform where we can do stuff without impacting the newer things here. It would be great if we could get Killer Instinct Coin-Op on there.
Yes, it would be.
Are we going to start talking about 2009, the year of Killer Instinct, again?
Again.
Yeah, StarCraft Ghost is also due out this year.
Yeah, and Super Street Fighter HD.
Not that one. That one's 2 years down the road.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Ubisoft announced that Far Cry 2 has sold over 1 million units in less than 3 weeks availability at retail, which is impressive considering it was not a high-profile title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lionhead has announced that there will be quite a big announcement this week regarding Fable 2. Epic Games China Limited announced the opening of... Is this like supposed to be two stories?
Yeah, I guess I didn't end up...
Look at you.
My bad.
News editor.
That's the first time.
Yeah, it is the first time. Epic Games China Limited announced the opening of Titan Studios, its wholly owned subsidiary based in Seattle, Washington. Whatever. Your momadary. In Seattle, Washington. Left 4 Dead demo is up and will end on November 18th. End?
Yeah.
You can't... Like, can you not play it anymore?
I guess.
No.
That's kind of
well. Maybe bunk. Maybe the I don't know multiplayer. I don't know. Fuck it.
Whatever. Stupid. EA has confirmed that Mirror's Edge will hit the PC in January, and also said that DLC for it will be available the same month.
That's also for the consoles.
DLC.
The DLC will hit the
new time trials.
Should add another hour to the game.
Yeah, maybe. Well, then it will cost money. Square Enix announced that Dragon Quest and a new Valkyrie Profile are planned for release in North America early next year, and both are for the DS.
What a shock.
Richard Garriott is leaving NCSoft.
Good. Go make another Ultima.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it.
What was his alias back in the...
Lord British.
Yes, Lord British.
Yeah. Go make another Ultima and make me happy.
Xbox Japan has announced 3 more titles joining its budget Platinum Collection line. Armored Core 4 Answer, which is the stupidest name for a game ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Kingdom Under Fire Circle of Doom and Virtua Fighter 5 Live Arena. Each game is priced at $29 and will be out next January. Last week we saw the Capcom-branded PSN store, so go check that out.
It's really cool. I played around with it a little bit the other day.
Dead Rising will hit Japanese Wii's on February 19th.
Hit Japanese Wii's.
He's got to be good. It's a small target.
Snap. You did not. You did not just make the small penis joke.
What? So big. Here is Sony UK marketing director Ray Maguire on competition. Yes, we might take a bit longer sometimes to bring a product to market, but when we do, we bring you the most powerful gaming platform ever to hit. And it will be something that will be around for a very long time. It's nowhere near halfway through its life cycle, and I could argue that some other competing formats are on their way down right now.
I am so sick of hearing PR speak.
Yeah, PR.
From Sony and Microsoft. They just get on my nerves anymore.
They're fanboys.
Well, of course they are. They're PR people. PR people are the original fanboys.
More Little Big Planet Sackboy costumes are on the
there's
PSN.
A lot.
There was a there was a animal collection.
Cool too.
Animal, there was a free one too.
There's Motorstorm ones.
There's a penguin one, dude. I want that.
Well, there's
one.
A lot of animals. There's also the one that I thought would be taken down too was the space helmet still on there.
Oh really?
I guess the pumpkin one just was the Halloween theme that got. Taken.
I never got a chance to get the space shuttle one, so I better go do that.
Yeah, I guess that one's staying up. So.
Midway reported that it made $51 million in revenue and that it took a loss of $75 million, with losses planned to continue for next year.
Poor
Poor everybody. Everybody's losing money right now, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Old Republic combat will be choreographed.
That's expected for an MMO.
Petey Williams and Curry Man are now available as DLC on TNA Impact.
Plus a special free bonus.
What's the special free bonus?
Ring announcer, Mike Kinney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was no new Xbox Live Arcade game last week. To compensate for that, Microsoft is offering three XBLA games on their new Arcade Hits line. Feeding Frenzy, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and Worms are
Worms
all now
400 points.
And it's all permanent. It's not just a discount. It's permanent.
Sweet.
Microsoft brought Christmas early and delivered some bannings of consoles playing pirated games. So, you know, you shouldn't complain that it happened because you knew what you were doing was wrong.
Don't play
pirated games. Reading
Arr.
Story, I guess this happened Arr. Before, and I guess the first time it happened, Major Nelson got banned.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's funny.
Well, that's how he gets all those games, man. Microsoft announced today that Gears of War 2 sold over 2 million copies in its opening weekend. The company announced that also more than 1.5 million people logged into Gears 2 during that weekend, racking up 15 million gameplay hours and helping set a new record for concurrent live players. They also unlocked more than 19 million achievements.
Wow.
Those
That's
are some
awesome.
Impressive numbers for an opening weekend.
It's funny how achievements make it into numbers now.
Yeah.
That's hilariously funny. A federal court jury in San Francisco awarded $28.1 million to more than 2,000 retired NFL players who claimed the NFL Players Association had violated contracts when licensing these retired players' likenesses.
That would be to Madden, I assume, and to
All-Pro Football,
All-Pro
maybe.
Football.
But I thought they went out and got the license for that one. I do not know. Square has confirmed it's to publish a sequel to gas-powered games RTS Supreme Commander. Why?
What? Hopefully it's better than the last one. Although I heard the last one was pretty good on PC, just not on console.
Well, yeah.
That's weird.
Eric S. Dyke, co-founder and president of the Orlando, Florida-based developer InSpace, passed away earlier this week, succumbing to cancer. That was good before you got in with the
obvious, yeah.
Extermination was a crappy game joke. Dyke founded the company with partner Dan O'Leary, serving as president for 14 years. Developer InSpace was responsible for titles like the upcoming Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 Fusion, Geist for the GameCube, and Tiger Shark for the PC, as well as Call of Duty and Star Wars titles for the DS. Rumors going around that Midway laid off 20 to 30 employees from the Chicago studio. The ESRB rolled out a new set of rating summaries on their website geared towards parents looking to find out more information about the games they're letting their children play. Now the ESRB website lists the rating and content descriptors as well as a brief synopsis of the game, which is good. They should be making these things.
Yes. Should do more to let parents do the job.
You didn't have to read this because it was fake.
What, this?
Yeah, the next
one. Oh, yeah, nope, never mind. This was fake. Jimi Hendrix track packs now on Guitar Hero World Tour. 440 points, or what's that, $5?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
All right. Street Fighter 2 Pinball FX table's up. It was $5 too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The recently acquired Massive will work on UB MMOs. Battlefield Heroes delayed till 2009. GTA Chinatown has been pushed back till February of next year.
What, a Grand Theft Auto game getting pushed back?
And the DLC is close to completion and might be available at the end of January. The December issue of Game Informer, which someone got their hands on early, Halo 3 Recon will be around 3 to 5 hours long. And according to Bungie's Joe Staten said that, quote, we do not view this as a $60 title.
Well, I would hope not.
For 3 to 5 hours.
That's just rumor.
Right.
We'll have to read the full story when it comes out in the Game Informer. So.
Guess that works on Mirror's Edge and Heavenly Sword, though. Blizzard is already plotting its next MMO. Oh, I lost my place. Saying, quote, we want to create a great game. Something that's cool and new and different and kind of next generation in terms of look and feel and gameplay. That's a challenging endeavor. We're definitely at the beginning in the first half of development. Nintendo's releasing a new official Nintendo magazine for the Australian and New Zealand market. The Wii Speak peripheral is the latest item to take the fight to used games. How? Included with the microphone is a download coupon for the Wii Speak channel, which you'll need if you want to use the device outside of games. The coupon is the only way you can get the channel. You can't download it from the shop channel. You can't pay for it, then download it. You can't even beg Nintendo for a copy. So if you want to buy a Wii Speak mic used game, you won't get the coupon. You won't be able to use the Wii Speak channel. Awesome.
Yes.
According to Kotaku Games for Windows Live, General Manager Chris Early tells Shaq News in a soon-to-be-published interview that Microsoft has designs on digitally distributing full PC games via Live Marketplace, saying selling games a la Steam is on our roadmap.
Nice.
A forthcoming update to Games for Windows Live will bring about the capability to download demos, media, and microtransaction caliber content.
This next one makes me want to cry a little bit.
Rumor is spreading that Sega has dropped the Silicon Knights, the new game they were working on for them.
Makes me want to cry a little bit.
The new 7 DLC characters for Force Unleashed is up. I downloaded those. It's kind of cool to run around as Obi-Wan Kenobi and, you know, Luke Skywalker.
Is it free download? Or how much is that?
$5.
Yeah. $5.
For seven characters.
For 7 characters, so that's not bad.
Do they play differently?
No. They play exactly the same. Just different skins, basically. Street Fighter IV will be coming to North America on February 17th and Europe on Woo-hoo. February 20th.
Oh, yeah.
This week's Rock Band DLC will be a Dead Kennedys 3-pack, a Mission of Burma 3-pack, two Lacuna Coil songs, and songs from In This Moment and Crooked X. As they continue to put up bands most people have never heard of. Codemasters has acquired Swordfish Studios. Anybody?
No, I don't know who
anybody?
That is.
I don't know.
Guitar Hero World Tour will get a 3-pack of the Killers songs.
As will Rock Band, so we can kill that one. They're both getting 3-pack Killer songs.
Well, sweet. There you go.
I like the Killers.
For all 5 people who bought the original, Zapper is coming to the Xbox Originals.
Give me a break.
Left 4 Dead has gone gold.
Woohoo!
Huxley has been delayed till 2009.
What? It wasn't already delayed till 2009?
Did anybody even remember this game?
The fact that there's only a month and a half left in 2008 didn't give somebody that clue.
Did anybody really believe? Criterion's Simon Phipps has announced that Toy Cars will have a pack available for Burnout Paradise in early 2009, around the same time as the Legendary Cars pack will release. Sony has pushed back the release of the PS3 controller keyboard to December. As we already mentioned, Rock Band gets the song pack from The Killers. And then we have the NPD numbers. Yay! And I'm not going to mention any hardware, as we don't any week, but I just want to say, Nintendo, goddamn. Yeah.
Goddamn.
803,000. Holy cow. As far as games go, Fable 2 was on top with 790,000. Wii Fit continues to rock at 487,000. Fallout 3 kills on the 360 at 375. Mario Kart still there.
Nice.
290. Wii Play still there at 282.
Ew.
Saints Row 2 shows up at 270. That's respectable. SOCOM respectable at 231. Little Big Planet at 215, which is good to see it there.
Yeah.
NBA,
especially after only 3 days.
NBA 2K9 at 202. And Dead Space at 193. And one thing missing from this list is just a shock to me. No Guitar Hero.
Nope. Yeah.
But it was only out for 4 days.
Well,
5 days, but still.
So it was Little Big Planet and Fallout.
Yeah. That's, wow. It's amazing to me because Guitar Hero always shows up on the lists.
I think it just barely missed the top 10.
Cutoff.
Yeah, because I was reading about it. Rock Band and Guitar Hero barely missed the top 10. So I'm sure we'll see it next month.
Well, wasn't Rock Band just released for the PS3 and the PS2 and stuff?
Yeah.
Just recently?
Except I thought that was...
No, yeah, September was Xbox.
It was October, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, we get to do some questions now.
Woohoo! Sweet. We got a lot of time for questions this
week. Yeah, more than most.
You know, though, I'm kind of glad that the questions segment of the show kind of got cut down in favor of games for a couple weeks. Not because I don't like the questions, because I do. I think they're awesome. But there for a while, we were getting really, really question heavy to the point where it seemed like the entire show was questions.
Yeah. All right. We got about 30 minutes to rock these out, so let's see. The first question comes from Big Beat. It says, "Hey guys, newbie poster from across the pond in Britain, but I've been listening for the last few months and enjoy every minute, listening, giggling to myself at work."
Well, thank you. Glad you enjoy it.
"After listening for a while now, I've noticed one question that has come up a lot, and that would be, what would you like to see in a video game? The first two questions are around the similar-ish area. Number one, if you could bring any character from a computer game to life... and be friends with them, who would it be and why?" That's an interesting question.
Wow.
Well, that is an interesting question.
Barring the incredibly obvious Lara Croft answer that just about every male across the country would say. I'm going to say... Probably Nathan Drake. He seems like he'd be a pretty cool guy to hang out with.
Yeah, you know,
seems like he'd get you in some trouble.
Yeah.
I think mine's obvious.
So say it.
I'll just bring Solid Snake to life, man, so I can hang out with him, smoke cigarettes, and talk about mullets.
Dude, I couldn't deal with Solid Snake.
I could, dude. I could be
repeating everything.
Dude, that
back
would be awesome. I'd be like, Snake, so what do you want
to
do? You want to play games?
Play games.
I think I would get so irritated after a while. I'd be like, dude, fuck you. Say something that's not a question.
I'd be like, dude, I have to go pee. You gotta pee?
Every time he gets alerted, a little explanation point pops above his head.
That's what happens when you wake him up at night. It's time to get up, Snake. Vroom. You want some lunch? Lunch!
What is that?
He'd be sneaking around the kitchen trying to get a soda, tapping on the cabinets. What about you?
What about me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Nathan Drake would be pretty cool to hang out with.
See, everybody likes Nathan Drake. He's a cool guy. He's a popular guy.
I would be entertained all day long if Snake was around. I really would.
If you had Nathan Drake, Solid Snake, together, and then you, drinking game at a bar, and you start a bar fight, now that would be the coolest thing ever.
Snake might shoot Drake.
He'd snap his neck.
Or snap his neck.
What if Snake was just too drunk to fight?
He's never too drunk to fight.
I'm too drunk. Taste this chicken.
Yeah.
What about you?
Shit.
I don't think that's a character.
Dom. I tell him to bring his Lancer. There's some people I want to chop up.
I still want a real life sack boy running around.
That would be awesome.
Would be
doing
awesome.
My fucking running around,
doing my fucking chores for me.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know, I'm stealing that. I want sack boy.
Hey, a Goomba. Yeah.
No, I just
he would
him.
Just run back and forth in my living room until I stepped on his head, dude.
If he responds, I'll just keep bouncing on his head.
He's just walking back and forth in one place, going, "Please just kill me now." I've been walking back and forth in the same place for 17 hours. Just kill me.
Yes, for everybody listening to the podcast.
That's actually a clip from the Goomba Suicide Hotline. No. I feel like I'm not going anywhere with my life. I've been walking back and forth on this platform for what seems like forever.
I relive the same day over and over.
It's like a goldfish, man.
I feel like I've spent my entire life waiting for a fat Italian plumber.
To step on my head.
If you could live in a video game world, where would you be?
Oh, that's easy
what?
For me. Burnout. Just because I want to wreck cars and not die.
Yeah, but I don't really think there's anybody in the car.
I'll be in the car. Fuck. I don't care. I live in Burnout world.
Dude, I would totally live in. I would live in Mario's world, because then I can eat mushrooms and grow real big and shoot fireballs.
You could do that. Even
most video game worlds seem to have a very high probability of death.
Yeah, but I get to come right back to life.
That's true.
See, I just
that's
hit
why
start.
Burnout. You won't die.
Maybe Mega Man would be kind of cool.
I wouldn't
just think
be
how many fucking different robots there are.
Yeah, but I would get. You know, I'm one of those people that like gives up. So I would totally never leave like the first 5 seconds of the level. Yeah. I'd be like, this, I can't get it.
This is my house now. This is my house.
Hey, you flying things with giant teeth and helicopter propellers, go away.
There's Spike. What the? Spike I'm not passing.
I'm not trying to jump over
back.
Spikes, dude. I can't even jump over a staircase.
I'm going to go eat pizza.
I think it'd be cool to
that's why I'm in Mario's world.
To be in the world of like Castlevania.
You want to get your blood sucked?
There's too many damn vampires and zombies in Castlevania.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah.
See, in Mario World, all I got to worry about is the damn Goombas, and they just let me step on them. I just eat mushrooms all day.
Please, God, end this.
And every now and then, I might be able to drive down to Princess Peach Castle and, you know, do some Mario Karting. What's up?
Okay.
What's up?
I got one. Final Fantasy VII, specifically the gold saucer place where it's like a giant amusement park where you can go to the video arcade, play video games, and actually go on a roller coaster.
Why don't
you
do that in real life?
So wait. Your ideal, if you could live in the world of a video game, you would live in the world of a video game where you could play video games.
And go on roller coasters.
Go on roller coasters. But
you could do that at King's Island.
But no. Outside the place, there's always fear of, like, dragons and stuff.
Oh,
yeah, but you can't see because
fuck dragons.
But random encounters.
You could look outside and see some dragons.
No, you couldn't because you don't see them until you get in a fight.
Can you imagine living in the world of Final Fantasy? You're just, like, walking along, like, walking to school, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, fucking monster just jumps out right in your face.
But he doesn't jump
out in
your face.
Didn't see me coming, did you, bitch?
You'd be, like, getting ready to get on the roller coaster. You'd be in line, and all of a sudden you see him.
You're like looking around. Fuck, not this again.
I gotta get on this roller coaster. It's pissing me off.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
And not only that, but I gotta hit him and then wait for him to hit me. And then I gotta hit him again.
This is gonna take all fucking day.
And then I gotta heal and wait for him to hit me again.
The park will be closed by the time this is done.
Yeah.
I gotta listen to this bitch cry all day.
And my hair. What's up with my hair?
Why am I carrying this 700-pound sword that I can't even swing?
I can't take it on the ride, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Also, have you ever had such a large break from gaming that you went crazy and bought lots of games at once, as I'm about to do this? I was thinking for a selection, Fallout 3, Little Big Planet, Resistance 2. I don't know.
Nice, that's a pretty good selection.
I cannot think of what else to choose. Will these keep me going into Christmas, or will you recommend other games?
Those will keep you well after
Christmas.
Definitely
keep you going until Christmas.
Yeah.
But I guess the question is, have you ever been... From a large break of games.
Oh, yeah. I was
There
was a time when I was out of the video game thing, and I was gone for like 3 years, so I just went on a spurt after.
I never really went on the break thing. I have gone on spurs and bought a lot of games at once, but never really because I had been, you know, missing out on stuff just because, you know, a bunch of games came out at once.
As far as I remember... I've always been hardcore into video games, like, consistently pretty much my entire life.
All right, next question. After all this time, I should know who has broken the most controllers, but typing this, it has gone out of my head. I'm guessing Killer Wolverine has broken the most.
Yes.
My question is, what have you
by
found...
By tenfold.
What have you found the most robust, breakable controller out of this gen's controllers?
I haven't broken any gen. Well, I've broken Xbox. That's it. So I couldn't compare.
My Xbox controller's fallen off my coffee table a couple times because I have two satanically evil cats. They've also knocked my my six axis off the coffee table. The six axis broke. The 360 controller didn't.
I would think the six axis out of, you know, just holding it would say
it still works.
Breakable.
But it you can hear it rattling.
Well, PS3s always have done that.
Yeah.
I know. I broke PS2 controllers.
Yeah, I broke several PS2 controllers. So, never, like, in an angry rage, just, like, dropping them or tripping over a cord or somebody steps on it or something like that.
I've never broke a controller in my life. There's been a few times that I came close. I would, like, grip the controller really hard because I'd be pissed off. But then I would be like, oh... Time to get away from the game and just put the controller down and walk away.
I take that back. I have broken one controller out of anger in my life. One controller out of anger. And breaking the controller also led to the door on my entertainment unit getting broken as well. Because I took my PS2 controller playing Tekken 4, which is one of the cheapest ass games of all time. And normally I'm pretty cool about it. Like, it does. Like, I get angry. I get upset about it, or I get frustrated with it or whatever. I don't get upset about it. I get frustrated with it or whatever. But for some reason, man, that game just pushed me over the edge. And I fired my PlayStation controller into the door of the entertainment center, and it broke the hinge.
So I think out of all this, I think PS3 controllers will be easier to break. Just from experience with PS2 and Xbox. Originals, because Xbox controllers are bulky, not so much in the PS2 or 3. So.
All right, this question 5 has me a little confused as I'm trying to read it here. With all these stories that we almost hear regularly about game-related violence, for example, GTA, do you think that part of the blame is with the parents buying the game for their underage kids and not knowing what is inside the game, and buying it so they will keep their children happy, and or with the blame on some game shops possibly not informing the parents of the content?
You know what? I think you pretty much could have stopped with, do you think part of the blame is with the parents? And,
yes.
You'd have had your answer.
Yes. It's definitely with that. Either them not knowing what's in the game, or they don't care.
Right.
Yeah. I've been at games. game stores many times where, like this mom be like, yeah, I'm picking up Grand Theft Auto 4, you know, for my son. They'll be like, how old is he? Oh, he's about 11. And then they explain all the mature content to her, and she's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
just give it to me.
Working at a game store, I did that several times. A majority of people didn't care. I think I deterred one person
in
my 2 years of working there from buying a Grand Theft Auto game.
That's terrible, in my opinion.
But, you know, it all depends on the raising of the kids. It was a big thing with Mortal Kombat, and it just brings a story to mind with the first Mortal Kombat. My mom bought it for me when I was, you know, the first one. So that was how many years ago?
Yeah.
And then my friend's mom didn't buy it for him because he was a violent son of a bitch. And he wouldn't know how to determine, you know, real life from fantasy.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, I don't really buy the game shops not telling the parents of the content, because the bottom line is, yeah, they might buy it for their kids without knowing what's in it, but... Number one, they should probably at least watch their kids play it once if they get a new game and they don't know what it's about. And number two, if their kid starts acting up right after they buy the game, they should probably ask their kid what the game is about.
And, you know, the first one you mentioned about how you said they should watch them.
Right.
I've gotten, when I worked at wherever, like five actual parents bringing it back because this game was...
Right.
You know, too violent. But then they, of course, would blame us.
Right.
But, you know, at least they brought it back. They had
right.
enough sense to actually sit down, watch what their kids are doing, care enough, and bring it back.
Right.
Well, just like movies, games have a fucking rating on the front of the box.
Right.
For a reason.
And that's there. You don't send your kid into an R-rated movie and then blame the movie theater.
Right.
Just like you don't buy an M-rated game and then come back and blame the game shop.
In which the parents would also compare an R-rated. We would let them watch R-rated movies, so why not play M-rated games?
Well, get this.
Well, there's a huge difference between an R-rated movie like Hostel and an R-rated movie, you know, like
Predator.
Predator, you know. Well that's
there's not much difference.
There is kind of a big difference.
Yeah, right.
Some movies get rated R for a couple of gory scenes, whereas Hostel is 90 minutes of gore and sex.
Or like Rambo or something.
Right.
Well,
but
not the recent
not the
Rambo.
New one.
You know, yeah, not the new one, but the first one.
I think it rests entirely on the parents. They need to do the research.
Yeah, it's their job. It's not the game store. You don't hear the movie people going, is your kid, you know.
The bottom line is, if you're a parent, you should never buy your kid something without knowing what it does.
And you see, now, since we're gamers, when we have kids, we know what to look for.
Right.
So the parents who weren't gamers, they need to do the research. And then we just mentioned in the news that the ESRB has got this new rating thing with the synopsis of the game. Go to their website. That'll help you out a lot.
They have brochures in every game store, too.
They do.
Pick it up and read it.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's that simple. Just take an interest in what your kids are doing. Watch them.
But get
Spend
this.
Spend some time with your kids while they're playing, too. You know, family bond time.
Family bond.
Play Monopoly, bitch.
No, don't play Monopoly.
Because
it's terrible.
Back in 87, when I had...
When
I got the Nintendo Entertainment System... One of the games that I talked my parents into buying was Ghosts and Goblins. And they didn't, you know, realize what kind of game it was. And they actually watched the game. And then they made me take it back.
Why? Because you were running around in your underwear?
No, because the zombies were coming up out of the ground and you're killing zombies.
Don't lie, Jason. What happened was you played that game and then you took your pants off and ran around the kitchen throwing butter knives at your parents.
All right, so let's go on to his question B.
All right, question B. Also, with the possibility of wanting to introduce stricter ratings, do you think this may lead to having underage kids hanging outside of game stores asking adults to buy it for them? For an example, in Britain, you get school kids asking them to buy cigarettes.
We got this. That kind of shit happens all the time anyway.
It's all the time. And, you know, I would just be on the lookout for them. I mean, there's nothing you can do. If an underage kid comes in asking for a game, you say no, they're going to go get a parent. I mean, short of asking for ID... It's against the law. It's not against the law. So until then, there's nothing we can do.
You know, a couple of times, this isn't really to buy games, but I've had two times, some younger guy would walk up to me with a big bag of video games. He'd be like, hey man, could you sell this for me? I'm like,
nice.
No, dude. I don't play that way, man.
Well, that kind of ropes into his next question, which is, knowing full well what the moral implications are, if we take it back to games and a 15-year-old boy gave you the money to buy a game to get you to buy a copy of GTA 4, would you A, buy the game and give it to him, B, buy a completely different game, teach him a lesson, and don't give money to strangers, knowing full well that you just got yourself a free game. Or C, ignore him and just walk away.
Yeah, you know, I would do a variant. C, I'd be like, no, I don't. I'm not your parent.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
There you go. I think that's.
Did
anybody
here
going to take a free game?
No.
See, we're not really that kind of people.
If I was evil, I would do it. In my Fable.
If you were in Fable, you would do it.
Yeah. I would do it.
Be like, I'll buy you Hannah Montana.
Sucker.
His
last thing is at the end of the show, what is the name of the band playing? That's the Boogeyman's Feast of the Dead. You can look at his podcast or his profile on the forum and click right there and go see his band.
Yeah. And send him a message and he'll send you a copy of his newest CD, The Root of All Evil.
Indeed he will. And then he says, laters, potatoes.
Keep up the wild crocodile.
Keep up the great work, as I think this podcast brightens every N4G gamer's Monday morning listening to you guys.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes from Clance. Okay, fellas, what's happening?
Oh, you missed the first part of his thing.
Well, it's about catastrophe
well,
stealing his.
In case you didn't all answer, I forward the question to you all.
Mm.
He wants us all to name our favorite movie, book, music.
Oh, shit.
Star Wars, Jurassic Park, Foo Fighters.
Nice. That was very
good.
Right. Although Batman The Dark Knight is in my running now in competition with Empire Strikes Back.
Movie is very tough for me because it fights with Empire Strikes Back and Tombstone are my two favorite movies.
I can't pick movies.
Book is It.
Ooh.
And
by Stephen King.
Yes, and my favorite CD is always a tough one because I always kind of wobble back and forth. It's different depending on what day you ask me, but it's probably either Dwight Yoakam Acoustic.net by Dwight Yoakam or Under the Table and Above the Sun by Reckless Kelly.
See, mine's Color and Shape by Das Fu.
See, das movies, Fu Fighters. I can't really narrow down. If I had to pick one, it would be Spider-Man 2. Book... I don't really read all that much. But I did read a nice book about Bruce Campbell.
You're illegitimate.
Bruce Campbell has a nice autobiography called If Chins Could Lie.
Yeah.
Awesome book.
Yeah, that is pretty
interesting. I really like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
So, music, it's, like he said, day to day. So my favorite person is me.
I like long walks on the beach.
And sunsets.
All right. And
how come you didn't?
I already
that's
answered
right.
like
that's right. That was the whole impetus
like,
for the question.
It was like four or five episodes ago.
All right, just wanted to know what you lot thought about a few things. Number one, a bit broad, but which game will 2008 be remembered for and why?
There's a couple that would be remembered.
That's, yeah.
I think it's going to be Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a combination of Metal Gear, Little Big Planet, and
tell you the truth, in my
probably
opinion,
Gears.
In my opinion, Metal Gear 4.
Metal Gear 4 was huge for me.
Is,
you know this.
Yes, and it was huge for me as well.
See, I think Little Big Planet.
I think Little Big Planet just because of everything it does. It,
yeah.
It ushers in so many new things, and it ushers back in the idea that games are supposed to be fun.
And, you know, it's Gears. Nah, it's a sequel. I don't think it...
It's really
yeah,
good, but it's a sequel,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So it'll be remembered for its sales.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it'll
and
be remembered
you know
for
how
sales.
Good the game is, but I mean, the most remembered, I think, the PS3 hit it with Little Big Planet.
All right, next question: what's your favorite snack to accompany gaming? For him, it's peanut M&Ms.
Nice.
Potato chips.
I like cheese and peanut butter crackers.
I'm a big fan of Mike and Ike's.
What?
Mike and Ike's.
Oh, I thought you said Mike and Ike's. I'm like, what the hell's
no,
a Mike and Ike's?
Mike and Ike's.
Okay.
I like Mike and Ike's. I also like these are really good if you can find them. Rolled Gold. Honey wheat pretzel twists are delicious. They probably won't have them in England, so I apologize, but they're pretty awesome.
I rarely eat while playing, but when I do, like I said, potato chips of some kind.
I just thought up of one. Wasabi peas.
Wow.
Only you would say wasabi peas. We're over here with junk food.
Have a bowl of peas while eating or while playing games?
Yeah, there's these peas, and they're covered in wasabi, which is like a horseradish.
Right.
It's,
that just sounds
pizza's disgusting. Always a good choice, too.
Dude.
Yeah, but you get the grease all over
yeah.
the controller.
Dude, that's why you got to keep a napkin next to you.
Don't knock wasabi peas. My dad barely, you know, experiments with eating anything outside of, you know, pizza. and hamburgers.
We're not.
He sounds like a good man.
But the thing is, man, my dad actually was like, that was pretty good. And get this, my my 2-year-old niece likes them.
My I may have told this story on here before. my mental connection between ramen noodles and Shinmu. Have I ever told that story on here before? When the first Shinmu came out on Dreamcast, I had recently had my wisdom teeth cut out, and I was eating a lot of ramen noodles, like a lot of ramen noodles.
I love ramen noodles.
And so mostly I spent, you know, the time when my teeth were healing eating ramen noodles and playing Shinmu. So now...
That is such an awesome experience.
So now, anytime, like, I see video of Shinmu or whatever, I smell ramen noodles. And anytime I eat ramen noodles, I think about Shinmu. I've got a mental connection there between ramen noodles and Shinmu.
I've got, like, a mental connection between Mario and pizza.
Nice.
Especially if the pizza has, like, mushrooms on it. Because I'm kind of thinking like Mario mushrooms.
Gotcha. These could totally be taken in the wrong context. I'm just putting that out there.
Alrighty.
All right, next question.
What kind of context were you thinking of?
Just let it go.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Are there any games that you need to turn off when your woman is around? I think everything but Little Big Planet would be my answer. I don't have it yet, but she likes Sackboy. Finally a breakthrough.
No. Like I said last week, I try and avoid playing Dead Space when my wife is around because it will probably give her nightmares.
My wife got sick watching me play Mirror's Edge.
Really?
I almost got sick playing Mirror's Edge.
It's rough if you're not used to that kind of like movement and stuff.
Well, it's like doing these movements where the whole screen rotates real quickly.
Oh, you haven't seen the worst of it yet. How about you?
Nope. Free for all.
How about you? Any good bands you guys have seen this year or have tickets for? I didn't see any bands this year.
I didn't either.
The only couple concerts I went to this year were like local bands playing at a bar. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, this year, shit, I don't remember what I went this year.
Although I did have an interesting experience. Last weekend, we went to see this band, and the band before them, like the band before the band we went to see, which is a local band here around in this area, the band before them was like growling, angry, as Brian Peterson calls them, Cookie Monster Rock, where it was like,
cookies.
And they were the band before. We saw like half of their last song, and it was just horrible trash. But the band that we were actually there to see, who is also not that great, we're sitting there watching, and in the middle of the song, they're kind of rocking out in the middle of the song, jamming on guitar or whatever. We're standing kind of in the back of the crowd. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, man, this guy that was from the Cookie Monster Rock band has this huge beard, this huge, like, puffy hair, just comes walking up next to us, man. It was like he just walked off the stage or walked off the street out of a fog. Just throws his hand up in the air and starts headbanging right next to us. It was the creepiest thing I've ever been a part of in my entire life, because it was literally like you look to your left and there was nobody there. And then out of your peripheral, you see like Cookie Monster Rock coming in. And then he's headbanging. It was creepy, man.
You know what? I've not been to many concerts at all. I mean, the last concert I've been to was the MC Hammer.
Wow.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt them concert.
This is why you eat wasabi peas.
I did go to Chicago in February to see some bands.
I thought you meant to see the band Chicago.
I did, too, for a second. I'm like, you like Chicago?
And then hopefully here next month, a reunited band local, the Black Tie Bombers with Boogeyman, might go see them. Because they're reuniting.
The best concert I have ever been to was when I saw The Foo play in Cincinnati. Second best concert I ever saw was NoFX play at the Hard Rock Cafe.
I saw the Guess Who, who did American Woman, for those who don't know, and a couple other really big songs in the 70s, play at my college's auditorium. And there were literally, it was me, 4 members of my family, and 3 other people there. That was it. There were like 6 or 7 people in the entire auditorium.
We saw a guy pretend to be Jimmy Buffett at the fireworks show.
Yes, yeah. We did see a guy pretend to be Jimmy Buffett at the fireworks show. That was
funny. He says, keep up the good work and come to London for a pint.
I'd love to come to London.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not for a pint unless it was water.
Not for a pint unless it's water with lemon for me, but I would love to come to London.
All right, we got enough time for one more. Let's hit it real quick. Flameboy NE wants to know, what's your game of the show from TGS? Wow. This is definitely an old question.
We're a little behind, like a month.
I don't even huge numbered questions.
Yeah, I don't remember TGS much, so.
I got one, Phantasy Star for DS.
I guess Bayonetta, but it wasn't announced at TGS because I like Devil May Cry.
Did you watch the trailer for
Bayonetta?
Yeah,
it was stupid.
Yeah, she's like, oh, touch me.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And the camera goes right up. It's stupid.
Second question. I have managed to stay spoiler-free for Bioshock all this time since it hit 360, as I knew it would be on PS3 sooner or later. Have any of you ever stayed spoiler-free on a game that has been hyped up, and then you played it, and it was rubbish?
Not that I can think of. I did manage to stay spoiler-free on Bioshock.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, and I'm still spoiler free on Bioshock as well.
Not me.
Well, here, let me run it out for you.
No matter how big the game is,
did you make it to the twist yet?
I made it to the twist.
Okay.
What the twist?
No matter how big the game is, I'm always eager to know. So, I made Ken tell me about Bioshock and Star Wars and God knows how many other games. So I can't be spoiler free. It hurts me.
DSI, worthy update or craptastic rehash?
Rehash.
There you go.
I'm going to say it depends on who you are.
I call it a downgrade. No GBA slot.
Well, it's in favor of the SD slot.
Well, you can't play Guitar Hero anymore.
Yeah.
So don't buy it if you like Guitar Hero.
Well, the thing is, I'm interested in the whole store. They
should just put that on the DS.
Yeah, I don't understand what the difference between the two is. This is just dividing your audience, which Nintendo doesn't care because they know everybody that owns a DS is going to buy a DSi.
Yep.
Well, the whole question is, worthy update or craptastic rehash? You know something? When it comes to Nintendo, it doesn't matter.
Nah, really
it's
doesn't.
It's true. Everybody's going to buy it anyway.
Not me.
What's your most anticipated game of next year on each of the three consoles?
On each of the three consoles.
So it has to be an exclusive?
I don't even know that Microsoft has announced any games for next year except for Alan Wake.
If Alan Wake even comes out.
But it's the PlayStation 3
Did you say he wakes up?
No.
When he wakes up. Alan, wake up!
PlayStation 3, I would actually have two games. I would have God of War and Infamous.
Killzone for me, too. I'm pretty excited about that.
Hesitantly optimistic about Killzone.
Infamous is probably my number one for next year.
Infamous will be number one.
I don't know anything for the Wii.
For the Wii, something good. something good.
You know what? What's that? The Conduit?
I look who it's made by and I lose interest. They've made some pretty crappy games in the past.
Either way, whatever. I'm looking forward to Resident Evil 5. I know it's multi-console, but I can't really think of any 360 exclusive right now.
I don't think Microsoft's even announced the 360 exclusive next year, except for that Halo expansion.
Right.
And Halo Wars.
Halo Wars.
I guess that would be my one, Halo Wars.
I got a couple for PS3. The Agency.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of optimistic. I'm still kind of hesitant about that one.
DC,
the DC MMO.
I don't think it's till 2010.
DC MMO.
It might make 09.
Yeah, so far it's like a lot of PS3 exclusives.
Well, that's because they announce all their stuff earlier.
They already announced all their.
I think Infamous and Killzone 2 are probably my two. And you know what game? And this is multi-platform, but I don't care. Borderlands. I really want to play Borderlands.
You know what game I'm still hyped about that nobody's talked about for like 6 months now is Prototype.
I totally
forgot about that game, and I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm like, well, I look at who made it.
Yeah.
You know, it's Radical Entertainment, and they made the Hulk game, which was so much fun, so.
I'm looking forward to ABP.
I don't know. My thing with Prototype is that I just don't know if it's going to be up to par at this point. The delays and everything.
I'm also really looking forward to Darksiders.
Yeah, I'm curious to see more on that.
Replay is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in
the
game.
Yeah, but isn't that made by like a really crappy company that like everybody that's played it said it was kind of ass?
I don't know, but
I mean, it looked cool when I saw it in the screenshots, but I heard that everybody that got to play early versions of it said it was pretty bad. Of course, that's really early.
Yeah,
we're still
real early.
Next year's.
I got another one. Well, it's multi. I got a couple multi-console ones. Bionic Commando. I'm really looking forward to Bionic Commando.
I hope it's good.
And Street Fighter.
And, of
Street
course,
Fighter 4.
Street yeah. Fighter 4 yeah. is going to be awesome.
So nobody talks about Tekken anymore.
Tekken.
That might be an impulse purchase, but I'm not looking forward to it.
All right, his last thing and our last question for the show. What's your take on the rise of blogs as a mainstream form of journalism?
Cool, I guess.
I don't know. I don't really use blogs.
Well, actually, you do.
Well, I don't use them in journalism.
You use them in your news.
Well.
Here's the thing. I think blogs trivial. I'm sick, so please excuse my
English.
My English. It trivializes journalism.
I think it's good for some things. I think it's good for stupid rumors that
yeah.
tend to pop up and become true.
It's good for stupid little things.
Yeah, it's like ADD journalism.
Yeah, it is. When it comes to like an important subject matter, I think an actual like article.
Oh, I like trust articles like, much more for real news. I always go to I always go to real journalists for the real news. But as far as just like you know getting your snippets,
yeah.
I think blogs are great for that.
Blogs are good for snippets. I will agree with that.
That's probably the big thing that I like about them.
It's like the McDonald's of journalism.
The benefit and the disadvantage of blogs is that it gives everybody an opinion.
Well, everybody
already has an opinion, but it gives everybody a voice to their opinion.
Yeah.
Speaking of blogs, and this is shameless self-promotion, but if you go onto the site, you can look up an interview that I did. I did. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did an interview with a fashion magazine.
What?
What?
Yes, I did.
Holy crap, I did not know about this.
Yes, I did an
interview.
Why
did they interview you?
It was about the rise of gaming blogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had to answer, I believe it was like 10 questions, and all the questions are posted up. I believe the website's called formatmag.com. You go
really?
There, and you can read the interview.
So are they hip?
It's urban fashion, man. It's hip.
Sweet. So did they ask you what you were wearing, and then you said, I'm wearing a Thundercats t-shirt?
No, they actually did ask me, you know, how has gaming affected my fashion sense. And you can read all of my answers. There were 5 sites interviewed. It was N4G, Joystick, Destructoid. I can't remember the other two.
I'll tell you a fashionable thing that I would like to pick up. Conan Librarian, a.k.a. I don't know if he would want me to mention his name. But Conan Librarian on Xbox Live, he's got a Bullet Bill beanie that he wears. Pretty sweet.
There you go.
I think I've decided I'm going to try and find a gamer wallet. I need a new wallet, and I've decided that I don't really want to go with the boring-ass leather anymore.
Yeah.
I have a Family Guy wallet.
I want, like, a gamer wallet.
I saw a Nintendo controller wallet, but it only folded once.
That's the kind I like. Where'd you see that at?
GameStop.
Really?
Yes.
There you go. That wraps up your fashion sense and everything else for the week. So
there
we're
going
to get out of here, but we'll be back next week with some more gaming goodness. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
You're sick. There ain't no might be about it.
The computer You're virus. Sick. That's what you get
you
for
got,
sticking your
you
penis
got some,
in the computer.
Some sinus business
yeah, I know.
Going on.
Yeah. I got some sinuses.
Oh, he stuck his wiener in a computer.
What did I tell you about sleeping around? Use safe computer sex.
You know,
that's the last time I do that download.
That's $1 million idea.
I think you computer, really gave an upload, not a download. But
computer with a penis hole? Do you know how many sad losers would buy a computer with a penis hole in it?
It's coming.
Oh, you can go. Oh, look at that.
You see what he did there?
See what he did there?
Yeah.
He made a...
It's time to upload your deposit.
Ew.
Do you know how many people who spend hours looking at World of Warcraft would buy a computer with a penis hole in it?
You know, they only come out like once every 6 months when an expansion comes out.
Yeah, that's the only time you ever see them out of their hovels.
Well, they were talking about that at GameStop the other day when I was in there. They're like, did you see all the creepy people came out for the midnight sale?
They
it's
like,
the only time they've been out of their basement.
They like wander in their flannel shirts with their long hair and beards and unkempt appearance.
Yeah.
I like how you're doing like the little zombie like arm movement.
The arm is up and the other one's down.
Yeah,
they're like frozen in constant keyboard mode.
They got their little wrist.
Shoulders are pushed forward.
Things on.
They look like Nightcrawler walking in X-Men Legends 2. They're all like, their hands are forward.
The Thriller
fingers are
playing.
Pointed down. Shoulders are pushed forward. Neck is sloped forward. Their eyes are glazed from the monitor glare.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a study. I'm going to do a study on Warcraft addicts. I beat the addiction, so can you.